ever feel like your phone is like a direct line to all the negativity in the world?
Yeah.
I mean, social media.
Right.
You gotta love it and hate it.
It's true.
So today,
yeah,
we're doing a deep dive into this whole digital dilemma.
Mm.
How do we stay informed and connected without drowning in all the negativity?
Yeah.
And get this.
Okay.
We might find some answers in the ancient philosophy of Stoicism.
It's a fascinating juxtaposition, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like using ancient wisdom for like our modern anxieties. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's unpack this research on the negative effects of social media.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they weren't kidding about the stark picture bit.
Yeah.
It's kind of terrifying how toxic behavior just thrives in the digital world.
It's true.
The hate comments, cyberbullying, those arguments that spiral out of control.
And it's not just the obvious harm, right? It's the insidious impact on our well-being.
Totally.
You know, mental well-being.
Yeah.
The research highlights a clear link between excessive social media use.
It's true.
And increased levels of anxiety, depression, stress.
And here's the thing. It's not just about seeing the negativity, right?
Right.
It's about how our brains are literally being rewired by it.
Yeah.
There's this one study, I think it was from the University of California.
Okay.
They found that even brief exposure to social media can lead to increased cortisol.
Yeah.
Which is our stress hormone.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Like it's a physical reaction.
Yes. Yeah. And it's this constant state of heightened stress that makes us more vulnerable to those negative emotions.
Ugh.
And then we fall into these echo chambers.
Ugh. Don't even.
Where we only see information that confirms our existing beliefs.
It's so true.
Which can often be negative or biased.
Confirmation bias. It's like digital comfort zone, even when it's making us miserable.
Totally.
Like, I swear I unfollow one negative account and three more pop up in my feed.
That's the thing about these platforms.
Oh, like a digital hydra.
They're designed to keep us engaged.
Yeah.
Often at the expense of our well-being.
It's true. And then there's the whole pressure to present this perfect image online.
Right.
Which just fuels social comparison and feelings of inadequacy.
Totally. And it's so hard because
the comparison game is brutal.
Yeah.
You start comparing your behind the scenes
to
everyone else's highlight reel.
Exactly.
It's a recipe for disaster.
It is, yeah.
It makes you wonder, can we be connected without constantly
dollar question.
Doing less than.
Yeah. And it's not about abandoning these technologies altogether.
Right.
It's about becoming more mindful. More intentional about how we engage with them.
So curating our digital diets.
Yeah.
Just like we do with our real food.
Precisely.
Choosing the good stuff.
Yes.
Limiting the junk food.
It starts with awareness.
Recognizing the impact this constant barrage of information is having on us.
Right.
And then we can take practical steps to mitigate that harm.
So what can we actually do about it?
One powerful step is to be selective about who we follow online.
Okay.
Do certain accounts consistently make you feel drained or negative?
Yeah.
Unfollow. You're not obligated to invite that energy into your life.
It's like they say.
Right.
You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with.
Exactly.
And that includes online.
And don't underestimate the power of setting boundaries.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Maybe designate certain times of day as tech-free zones.
Oh,
yeah.
Or commit to putting your phone away during meals and conversations.
Okay, that makes sense.
Right.
But what about the platforms themselves?
Yeah. Shouldn't they be doing more to curb the spread of negativity?
That's a valid point.
Because they're the ones profiting.
Platforms have a responsibility.
Off of our engagement.
To create healthier online spaces.
Right.
We've seen some efforts to flag harmful content and promote well-being resources, but there's always room for improvement.
It's like they're handing us a megaphone and then acting surprised when it's used to spread hate.
Right.
There's got to be a way to harness the power of tech for good.
Exactly.
Which brings us to our next mind-bending topic. Artificial intelligence.
Ooh, very interesting.
It's almost like we're handing the internet over to AI.
Yeah.
You know, algorithms are curating our feeds. Bots are writing the news articles.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
But what if?
Yeah.
And hear me out on this. What if we could teach AI to be nice?
Okay.
Don't
nice. It's a question that's fueling a lot of debate right now.
Right.
Can we embed these like ethical values into artificial intelligence? And how do we do it without going into censorship?
Yeah, because on one hand,
it's a tightrope walk.
Right.
Right.
On one hand, imagine an AI that could like spot a hateful comment before it was even posted.
Right.
Or nudge people towards more respectful language.
It's already happening.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
There are AI systems that are designed to identify and filter hate speech.
Wow.
Often with greater accuracy than humans can.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
And some platforms are experimenting with AI-powered tools that offer users alternative phrasing suggestions. So it's like a...
So instead of just flagging, it says, hey, maybe rephrase it like this.
So it's like a digital grammar editor?
Kind of, yeah.
For kindness?
Exactly.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
But I still worry about that line between guiding towards good and just straight up censorship.
Totally.
Like, who decides what's acceptable speech in the AI's eyes?
That's the million-dollar question. And it goes back to the source material we have here, the one about AI and free speech.
Okay.
One of the key takeaways is that AI is only as good as the data we trained it on.
Garbage in, garbage out. That's what they always say.
Exactly. If we train AI on data that's riddled with bias, hate speech, misinformation, it's going to perpetuate those problems.
Of course. But if we feed it a diet of empathy, respect, inclusivity, the possibilities are pretty exciting.
So it's like raising a child.
In a way.
But instead of vegetables and bedtime stories,
it's lines of code and ethical guidelines.
Yeah.
And just like with children, it's not about shielding AI from the world's complexities or dictating every thought. It's about equipping them with the tools and values to navigate those complexities ethically and responsibly.
Okay, so we're not talking about creating an AI nanny to police our every word.
No.
It's more about building in some guardrails.
Exactly.
Some ethical foundations.
Yeah.
So it can make its own decisions.
Right.
Hopefully good ones.
And that's where transparency becomes crucial.
Right. Because if we're going to trust AI to create like a more positive digital future.
Totally.
We need to know it's not going to become a reflection of like our worst impulses.
And that's where I think this ancient philosophy we touched on earlier, Stoicism, offers some surprisingly relevant insights.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Connect those dots for me.
Okay.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Connect those dots for me.
Okay.
What does Stoicism have to do with building ethical AI?
So Stoicism at its core is about focusing on what you can control and accepting what you can't.
Okay.
And when it comes to like this digital landscape, especially with AI becoming more prevalent, that's a powerful principle to apply.
Okay, so we can't control every line of code, every algorithm.
You can't control the algorithm.
Right. But we can control our reactions to it.
Exactly.
But that feels kind of small, doesn't it?
It might seem small, but it's incredibly powerful.
Okay.
Because, see, the Stoics believed that true freedom comes from recognizing what's within our sphere of control, our thoughts, our emotions, our actions.
Yeah.
And not attaching our well-being to things that we can't control.
So like other people's... Like
other people's opinions.
Opinions or...
The constant barrage of information online.
Right. So instead of getting riled up...
Yeah.
About like a nasty comment or a biased algorithm, we should just shrug it off.
You're not necessarily shrugging it off.
Okay.
But rather choosing how we respond.
Okay,
so we can choose to engage in thoughtful debate.
Right.
Report harmful content.
Right.
Or simply disengage.
So it's like, okay, that negativity is out there.
Yeah.
I don't have to let it in my headspace.
Right.
I can curate my own digital experience.
Exactly. And that same principle applies to AI.
Okay.
We can't control every decision an AI system makes.
Right.
But we can advocate for transparency.
Yes.
For ethical guidelines.
So we're like for human oversight.
Be ethical watchdogs.
Exactly.
Making sure AI doesn't go running off with a digital spoon.
Exactly.
But how do we actually do that?
Yeah.
It feels kind of overwhelming.
It starts with education.
Okay.
With understanding how these technologies work.
You're right.
How they impact our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's about using our voices and our choices to shape a digital future that aligns with our values.
So it's not just about being passive consumers of technology, but active participants in shaping it.
And that's where another Stoic principle comes in handy.
Okay.
Embracing discomfort.
Okay.
The Stoics believe that by stepping outside our comfort zones,
okay,
by confronting challenging situations head on, we build resilience and we grow as individuals.
Okay, so how does that apply to like our everyday digital lives? Like, do I need to start an argument with a bot?
Not necessarily, but maybe it means seeking out diverse perspectives online.
Okay.
Even if they challenge your own views.
So stepping out of those echo chambers
into
the digital public square, ready to engage.
It's about being comfortable with the uncomfortable.
I like that.
Knowing that growth and learning often happen when we're challenged a little bit. Wow. So we've gone from doom scrolling to Stoic philosophy.
Oh, no, right?
From the perils of social media to the promise of ethical AI.
Yeah.
That's quite a deep dive.
It really is.
I love it.
It's all connected, right?
Yeah, it is.
And the beauty of it is you don't have to master some ancient text.
Right.
Become a tech expert overnight.
Right.
It's about taking small, intentional steps.
Yeah.
Each day.
I like that.
To navigate this digital landscape with more awareness.
Be mindful.
More resilience and maybe even a little bit of Stoic wisdom.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us for this deep dive.
Yeah, this is great.
Until next time, stay curious.